Well, good morning again, and thank you very much for asking me to speak this morning. One of the things that maybe didn't come across in our little presentation there of what we've been up to over the last few years is that there were so many different things that got in the way of us doing what we wanted to do. We were faced with quite a lot of disappointments and quite a lot of struggles and trials, and we just had to trust God to get through things. So I thought it might be helpful to for us to look this morning at this passage from Daniel from the point of view of how do we deal with trials and temptations? How do we stand? And this story is obviously reasonably well known, especially if you've grown up through Sunday school. I think most children will have known the story of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and the fiery furnace, which tells of Daniel's three friends who underwent a significant trial. So I wonder, are any of you feel that you're facing a significant trial at the moment? Maybe you are battling some sort of fire. I don't know what it might be for you. Maybe it's money-related fire. Maybe it's a health-related fire. There's all sorts of things happening at the moment in this country that could be really quite challenging for us to try and get through. Maybe we can't work out why things don't get better. We found at Gehinni, there was no equipment, there was no medication, there was no desire from the health system to have specialist doctors at the hospital we were at. And then all of a sudden, after battling through that for a couple of years, things started to change. For us here, we live in a world that's becoming more and more unfriendly towards God, Christ, Christianity, or the believer. A lot of us don't really want to believe we should ever suffer. But Jesus Christ himself said this in John 16:33, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And Peter tells us why these struggles have come to us. "These trials have come so that your faith, of far greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." These trials, whatever you're going through, they will show you that your faith is genuine. They will show you the quality and depth of your faith. And that's maybe a key thought to hold on to this morning from what I'm saying. A faith that is tested is a faith that can be trusted. A faith that's tested is a faith that can be trusted. Now, Daniel's friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego lived in Babylon, in a kingdom that was also unfriendly to God and his ways. However, they would not bend or bow, but they entered the furnace because of their beliefs. Their faith was tested. The story involves King Nebuchadnezzar, who was an evil king. He made a giant statue, told everyone they had to bow down to worship this golden statue. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refuse to bow, and they're brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar is angry. He determines to destroy them by throwing them into the fiery furnace. And he orders them bound up and orders the furnace heated 7 times stronger than it normally was heated. But what we find in these three men is that faith obeys God instead of following man. Why was Nebuchadnezzar so angry at these ones? We find out early in the story. They're persecuted because of their standards. Their faith in God would not allow them to lower themselves to the same level as the pagans round about them. Their manner of life made them different from the others around them. And that should be true for us as well. If we are Christians, our standards of living should be different from the world living around us. So they're persecuted because of their standards, but they're also persecuted because of their Savior. This is verses 13 to 15, which I think Roz didn't actually read, which was fine. That's why they're up here. You can have a wee look at that. Nebuchadnezzar gives these boys a second chance when he brings them towards them. He tells them, "When you hear the sound of the horn, fall down and worship the image I made. But if you don't at this stage, this is a second chance. You can do it." They should bow to his will, though, instead of the will of God. But we, if we are Christians, should be completely sold out to God and His will. He's to have the first place in our lives. And thirdly, they're persecuted because of their stand. They take the stand in spite of the personal cost to them. And that's what God asks us to do for Him as well. We need to be totally committed to God. If we're going to live for Jesus in this world, if we're going to be His alone, if we're going to refuse to let the world squeeze us into its mold, we are going to face trials and persecution. If you or I are going to live godly lives, if we're going to live for Jesus, there will be furnaces of criticism, furnaces of intimidation, furnaces of hatred, furnaces of trials like you can't imagine, and that's just the way it is. We see from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that they had a predetermined plan, and that was obedience to God. We will be obedient to God no matter what. Faith obeys God instead of following man. They could have compromised. They could have faked it, bowed down, kept their fingers crossed, and tried not to be noticed. They could have worshipped and then asked for forgiveness from God. But they didn't do that. There is a predetermined outcome in what they had decided they were going to do. They were not going to bow down. And that was that. We will honor and obey God. We will not follow what everyone else is doing. And if you are a follower of Christ, you're truly trying to follow God's call for your life. Satan gives us plenty of opportunities to compromise what we know to be true, to be disappointed, to give up on things, even though we know his purposes in our life. We should not listen to those persecuting voices. We should not listen. We should not go there, because our faith focuses on that audience of one. Faith obeys God instead of following man. The second thing that faith does is it believes in spite of what it sees. So we see that in Daniel chapter 3, verse 17. You can throw us into the blazing furnace. The God we serve is able to save us from the furnace and from your power. The God we serve is able to save us, and he will rescue us. No matter what I see, I believe that not only is God all-powerful, but I believe God is willing to save. No matter what I see, my faith says God is willing and able. So when we're faced by trials, what do? We trust God. Our faith has to rise, and we believe that God is able to help us. God wants to help us. If we're faced with poor health, we believe that God is able to heal. We believe that God is willing to heal. Now, what God actually does is really up to him. He's called us to pray and believe those prayers of faith when we pray. When we're faced with a lack of money, we believe God is willing and able to be our provider in whatever circumstance that may send us. If we're faced with a family relationship that's falling apart, we believe that God is willing and able to restore. God is not confined to the things that we see. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we'd ever dare ask him for. So why would we doubt? Our faith says that God is with us, and our faith believes no matter what we see. But that does lead us to a very hard question, doesn't it? What if God doesn't do what we believe that he'll do? What if we believe God will heal someone, and actually they don't get healed and they die? What if we believe God will bring our brother back into faith in Christ, and they seem to be sucked further into rebellion against God? What do we do then? And I have to say, we were faced with this time and time again in Gehenna. We would pray that we would be able to save someone who was sick or ill, and God doesn't always do that. God often does, and there were many patients who were saved despite of our efforts, but there were many patients who didn't get better despite the best care we could give them in Gehinni. But really, what that tells us is that faithful obedience is our responsibility, but the outcome is God's responsibility. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say that in our passage in verse 18. Even if God does not save us, we want you to know, O King, we will not serve your gods or worship the image of God you have set up. So that's even if God doesn't save them, they will stand firm in that faith that they have. The outcome is God's. Living out what God has called us to do, the life he's purposed us to live, that's our job, and that's where our job ends. What God does after that is where his job begins. Our job is just to be obedient, to be faithful, and how it plays out is very much in God's hands beyond that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego don't know what will happen to them. They don't know what God is going to do, but their faith is unwavering because they know the goodness, the power, and the heart of their God. And as our reading tells us, they're cast into the flames, but an amazing thing happens. Instead of dying in the flames, they are loosed from their bonds and are walking around in the flames. Nebuchadnezzar cannot believe his eyes and commands them to come out, which they do. Totally unharmed. They were preserved by an ever-present God. They were not alone in the furnace. Nebuchadnezzar himself says, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods. And many commentators will tell you that that was a prevision, if you like, of Jesus in the Old Testament, walking around saving these three men in the fire. We have that same promise. When the flames rise around you, open your eyes, for Jesus is right there with you. When you're in the fire of trials, difficulties, God may be freeing you from some of the things that bind you. He loosened the bonds of these men, the bad habits, the bad attitudes, the sinful nature that we have. The fire has the power to set us free from the things that hinder our walk with God. God allows them to go into the fire, but he does not allow the fire to go through them. We're not brought into a fiery furnace for destruction, but for growth. God doesn't allow it for our hurt, but for our good. He's with us every step of the way. And interestingly, what happened to this fourth man that Nebuchadnezzar saw in the fire? Only three came out. He's still in the furnace. So when you find yourself in the furnace, Jesus is still there waiting for you. You'll find him there. He'll be with you and preserve you. There we go. Fourth man in the furnace. These men in our story were preserved by an all-powerful God as well. That's just God. When he does something, he does it all the way. These guys were inspected by Nebuchadnezzar. Not a hair of their heads was singed, their robes were not scorched, there was no smell of fire on them. When God does something, he does it all the way. When he does heal, he heals completely. When he saves completely. When he forgives completely. Whatever he does it all the way. Katrina alluded to that in our presentation earlier. When God blesses a project, you see amazing blessings. We didn't expect anything of what happened at Gehinni to be going on to the extent that we could work ourselves out of a job when we were there. The difficulties that we faced over the first couple of years, there just didn't seem to be any way through it. But God was there with us. God blessed everything. And over the last 2 years, the second half of when we were there, amazing things were brought to fruition. Amazing things happened. So when you find yourself looking at a fiery furnace, remember that you serve an all-powerful God who is able to keep you in times of affliction and is able to bring you through it for his glory. As we pass through the furnaces of our lives, leaning on the grace of God to sustain us, maybe that God is using those moments in our life, those moments that hurt so much, to show a lost world that he is God and that he can help them. This is why we need to submit to the difficulties, submit to the furnaces of life, trusting God's grace to be sufficient. Not only is he able to do far more than we think possible, but actually our weaknesses are the things that make him glorified. His power is able to work through our weaknesses, and we certainly felt that in Gehenna. So much happened because we were there, but not because of what we did. God is amazing. He works around you, works with you, and blesses, praise him that he allows us to be part of what he's doing. But really, it's in our weaknesses when we come to God that his power is perfect, is made perfect. So let's remember, if we're facing a trial, faith obeys God instead of following man. Faith believes in spite of what it sees. And faithful obedience is our responsibility. The outcome is God's. So if you are passing through a difficult time, if you are passing through a furnace time today, let me encourage you to bring it to God. He's with you in what you face. He has a plan to bring you through what you face and to use it for his glory. A faith that's tested is a faith that can be trusted. Let's pray together as we finish. Father, thank you for the stories that you give us in the Bible that tell us of your character, of tell us what you will do for us, that you will be with us, that you are sufficient for us despite what we may be facing, despite our weaknesses in all the situations we bring, that life brings us. Help us to remember our faith in you will lead to obedience to you and not man. We'll encourage our belief in spite of what we see, and that if we do that, we can trust you for the outcome, no matter what actually happens in the end. We just ask that you would strengthen that faith in each one of us this morning, no matter what trial or furnace we're facing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.